You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Orange, you glad to be a Kansas Cityan today? Bah!
Nice. Oranje.
We build this city on Oranje, Mars.
We build it on Oranje. We are the soccer capital of the world today, despite the fact that the rain is just now moving in. And my daughter, Dan, was on her way to FanFest.
Yeah.
And I was watching Fox 4, and I looked up, and they said FanFest is being, I don't want to say shut down, but
weather delayed.
Weather delayed to the lightning. Mm-hmm. They're saying, look, there's lightning in the area. We got to get everybody out of here.
Yeah, we had a few drops earlier. Of course, everyone's worried that we were going to get washed out for the big fan walk. We did not. Okay. There were a few drops.
Let's go with the fan walk. Sam, you were showing me some of the photos and the videos on social media. It looks like a million people marched downtown wearing orange.
Absolutely electric. Really quickly, we should be clear that it is canceled for now until they announce that it is uncanceled. FanFest is not set to reopen. They're just waiting it out.
We will let you know. But I mean, look outside. It is absolutely pouring down rain.
Reports show that anywhere from 20 to 22,000 or more people all wearing orange were partying marching down Kansas City streets, and Dan Weinbaum was right in the mix.
Yeah, I was right up near the front. I was probably about 100, 150 feet, maybe 200 feet at times from the back of the bus with the DJs. That was just extraordinary.
You walked in going, da, 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 da. You were waving a flag. You've got orange on. You got jacked in the face, apparently, by someone's foot. You don't care. What was it like, honestly? So explain this.
Yeah.
The Dutch all do this. They invade every city when there's a big match coming up, and they march in unison behind a gigantic orange bus wearing orange.
Yes. There you go. You summed
it
up.
That's it.
Yeah, it's just part of their football, the soccer culture. They go where their team is playing, especially for the World Cup, and they hold the Oranje Mars, the Orange March, the Orange Army, the Orange Legion. Yeah, the fan walk, and they hold it everywhere. And this one is looking to be the biggest one so far.
Oh, yeah.
In this World Cup. Yeah, Kansas City turned out. I noticed there were people. Of course, there was a lot of Dutch there, and because they're here for the match this evening. And, of course, the Dutch are base camped here.
Oh, yeah. You guys, listen to this. Just listen. People are crazy, and I love them.
Careful, Danny. You're getting Dan all hyped up again.
I think I want to be Dutch.
He's about to jump out of his chair
this is
in
phenomenal.
There.
Phenomenal.
That right there is part of, I don't even know what they call it, but it's that to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, and then the da-da-da-da. And then you've got the entire street full of thousands of people doing this little dance.
I
to the left.
Love it. To the right. Da 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 da.
Oh. So this morning I parked, I got on the streetcar, I rode it up to Power and Light. And on my streetcar was the orange suit man. He's a super fan. Dutch.
Yeah.
And I got to get a little selfie with him, which was cool. He's a super fan, but he's not around robbing banks. So
that's good.
He's cool.
I think we have the market cornered on that one, Dan.
Yeah, that's for sure. I walk into Power and Light, and it wasn't even 9:30 yet, and the rave was underway.
Yeah.
The DJs were going nuts. The place was packed. And then we still had 2 hours until we stepped off.
My God, I love everything about it. I love everything about it. Da, 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 da.
We'll just play this on a loop all day. The best part about that video is that the Fox 4 van is right in the middle of the crowd.
Yeah.
And the only reason you can tell it's the Fox 4 van is because of the mast on top. You can't really see the van.
Oh, my gosh. It's phenomenal. Well, I'm glad you got to go, Dan. I really am.
This is almost like a bucket list item.
Yeah.
You know, I got to hang out with the Dutch and party with them a little bit back in 1994.
It was a
good
year.
Down in Orlando.
Yeah.
And now today I got to hang out and party with their children and grandchildren.
Absolutely. Absolutely love it. 913-586-7798. What a great time to be alive in our town. And Brian Busby will join us, by the way, after the break. You can look outside and see. It doesn't take a meteorologist to know that it's raining. However, we need the chief meteorologist to come on and tell us, how long is this going to go? Let's talk about the lightning. When is that moving out? And what does this look like for the rest of today's festivities, whether you're going downtown or you just have other plans?
Well, and the match coming up at 6 o'clock.
And the match at 6 o'clock.
Stadium, yeah.
With our friends from Tunisia. And I'm not saying that we don't love Tunisia, but man, the orange just sort of took over today.
I ran into some folks from Tunisia.
Yeah, they're like, we can't compete with this.
That came in. I said hello. I welcomed them to Kansas City.
Oh, good.
I helped them take a group photo.
Oh, good.
And then I ran into some folks that are from Libya.
Wow.
That are here to support Tunisia.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's just, you know, again, I love this global experience that we're all having here in Kansas City.
So we'll post this all over social, but if you have not seen the, I don't know if it's a drone photo or a helicopter photo of what this looked like downtown, it looks like someone spilled orange Kool-Aid down 10 city blocks. All you see from, and the phones are ringing. If you were down there, I would love to take a couple of calls on this, because I do think we are getting to see something and experience something that is truly a once in a lifetime event. And for my daughter to walk in right before I came to work, and she said, "We're going down to FanFest." And I said, "Sweetheart, put on some orange, go enjoy yourself." And even though it is delayed for lightning right now, it'll be back. It'll be back, and that's part of the reason we're going to have Brian Busby on, just to kind of give us the timeline of what everything looks like tonight. Let's go to Jeff in Shawnee, who was there. Hi, Jeff. Welcome on in.
How are you?
So good.
I got to tell you, just now getting home from the Orange Walk. I won't even call it a parade, because in a parade, you know, you got the parade, whatever you call them, the people, and this was, you could go down there, and if you decided you wanted to get in and walk with them, you could, which I thought was very inclusive. I myself and some of my friends were bike riding in front of the bus behind the motorcycles, and we had us a time. It was unreal.
I've heard it described as indescribable.
That's probably the best, the best way to describe it is it cannot be described. People everywhere, people from everywhere. I saw a few people from Tunisia, which I thought, man, it took a lot of nerve to get down there, you know, with a flag. One woman had her little flag over her purse, and another guy had his flag over his shoulder, and there were no problems. I was talking with my friends about that, and not to bag on us locally, but had that been a Chiefs and Raiders parade, there would have been problems, you know?
Jeff, I'm not so sure it would have had the same ending, and thank you for the call. You are absolutely right. Let's go to Tara, who remains downtown. First of all, Tara, is it raining where you are?
Yes, by power and light, I just jumped in my vehicle. But I just have to say the same thing. There will never be anything like this again. Not that there won't be something better or something worse, but there will never be an experience like I just had today. From even driving down there when I was coming from the Northland, I picked up people on the way. They had orange shirts on. It's like, I know we're going to the same place. Hop in. My SUV, we could not fit another body in here. And we were all just singing along. But to the parade route, people have painted my face. I've got little foamy things, bracelets. I don't know any of these people. Everybody was having such a great time. They were carrying people on their heads. It was insane. But to get, I was up close to the bus too, because all the drunks were in the back end. But you could, because I stayed in the bar the last minute, like, we ain't in no hurry. But so to be at the top of the hill coming at Grand to look back and take that picture, mm-hmm. I mean, you could not see anything but a sea of orange. It was phenomenal. The only thing I would say back, that's not even bad, is that we needed more trash cans to hold all those beer bottles. But it's great.
Tara,
Kansas City did this right, I'm not telling you. I'm just saying.
I know it, and I love the enthusiasm because I was so sick and tired of the naysayers, you know, marching up toward this thing. We're not going to be ready. They're not going to be this. What's going on with the hotel? Is this really going to be? And you know what? Everything turned out to be just fine.
Tara described it so beautifully. What happened down there, once in a lifetime opportunity.
You should be beaming with pride for our town today. We hope that you are.
Tell you what, I can't wait for our next Super Bowl parade.
Better weather would be like maybe the one thing we could do better, but you
know. One thing that happened down there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is I do believe I saw them lined up in front. The Kansas City Public Works salt and snow removal trucks.
Yeah.
They're orange anyway.
Oh, no way.
So they were in the front of the parade heading down. That was pretty cool.
Matches tonight at 6 p.m. What's going on with the weather? Brian Busby calling in. We will get to a quick break and check on the weather before we move on to other topics on the Dana and Parks Show. Stick with us for that. You've seen these signs outside of some churches with a sense of humor that say, whoever's praying for rain, please stop.
Prayers are being answered.
As we monitor what's going on down at FanFest and beyond ahead of this match tonight at 6 p.m., let's go to Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby over at KMBC. Hello. Happy Day of the Orange, Brian. How are you doing, my friend?
I am fine, thank you, but my phone is blowing up. How much longer? When's it going to stop? People.
I'm not your pocket meteorologist.
I guess so. Like I was telling Sam, you guys are different, but I'm going to start saying, here's my Venmo. If you want a guaranteed forecast, personalized, I went to school to make money off this degree. Thank you very much. It's all good. It's all good. I just wish I was down there. It just sounds amazing what Dan was talking about.
I know.
So, okay, so you want to know what the weather's going to be like,
When's it going to stop? Because we're trapped here in the studio, and now it's like look like some sun's trying to peek through, but it looks awfully dark to our east.
What's happening is, and I encourage anybody to pull out their weather app, there's a little ribbon of thunderstorms with some lightning, which is why they decided to close down early, at least right now. Well, if you look out over central portions of Kansas, it is a constant wall of rain with embedded thunderstorms, and that's what's moving toward us. Timeline, probably by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock over the metro, and then that back edge of that probably won't be leaving until 8. So if they're going to do a radius of 8 miles around in all directions at the stadium, it's probably not even going to start on time. Gut feeling
the match will not start on time.
That's the way it's looking to me.
Yeah. Because of the parameters they put on the lightning.
Exactly. And again, I've not spoken to the official forecasters from FIFA. I'm not even sure which company or companies they're using. But just my first blush is the fact that they're going to definitely side on the air or go on the side of caution and say, let's just wait it out. But it may be a delay, so I hope you have some Sudokus or something to pass the time. let me say this also. It does not look severe, so it does not look like gusty winds of 70 or 80 miles an hour. It doesn't look like tornadic. It does not look like hail. It just looks like what Dan Weinbaum calls a frog strangler.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they can't mess around with the lightning. We were talking about that earlier, Brian. And did you say, Sam, you looked this up? Is it within 10 miles or what is their parameter?
The parameter for FIFA is 8 miles. And right now the radar is showing we've had some lightning just west of the core of downtown Kansas City. We've had some up by Worlds of Fun. We've had some in North Kansas City. All of that within 8 miles of the Fan Fest. Of course, that bullseye moves over to the stadium for 6 p.m. tonight to see when they can play.
I'll tell you this, Brian, after looking at the video, though, I think the fans might not be able to park at FanFest right now, but I think they're just going to be drenched and enjoy each other's company downtown. I hope they're staffed really well down at Power and Light right now. they're coming.
I hope so, too. Yeah, because they don't have many places to go, and I think they're just going to camp out since they are there and they want to be part of it. And I'm jealous. I'm very jealous.
I know. I want to go.
I'm orange with envy. How's that? Not green with envy. I'm orange with envy.
But up bump. Absolutely. I love it. And thank you for your time. And tell your friends, only a couple of us get to call you and say, will you please explain the weather? And everybody else, you got to get in line.
That's right. Love you guys.
Talk be well. To you be safe, my friend. Love you. So, all right. You know, it is what it is. We can't control the weather. He always says, I'm in marketing, not production. So if it's delayed, it's delayed.
I'd be very hard-pressed to believe that they're going to cancel the game altogether. They're just going to wait it out until the lightning clears and they can get the game in. So while everybody was chanting in unison here in Kansas City, and any chance we can get to make fun of the Buffalo Bills, we will. They were not chanting in unison in Buffalo today. A bunch of dignitaries and important people took to the podium to welcome the new Highmark Stadium in Buffalo. And if you are a Buffalo fan, apparently I just learned this today, the chant is, let's go.
Buffalo.
You shout, let's go. They shout, Buffalo.
Okay, I'm guessing John Grayson would be in on this. I go, let's go.
You
go Buffalo.
That's right. So it's let's go.
Buffalo.
Let's go.
Buffalo.
That's not what happened.
Were there people there, Sam?
It was packed. Like thousands of people.
Okay.
They introduced one Governor Kathy Hochul. She took to the podium.
Oh, God.
And this is what happened.
All right, let's get this party started. Let's go. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo.
So if you didn't catch that, they didn't do the
chant. She goes, let's go, dead silence.
So she just starts doing it herself, and then...
All right, seriously? you're going to win a championship season with that kind of enthusiasm? Men and women of labor, you know what I'm talking about. Let's go, Buffalo! Let's go, Buffalo!
There's still no one chanting!
The second time around, she got like 8 people to join her. She kept trying. You got to give her that.
It is a new 60,108 seat worth $2.2 billion that officially opened with a ribbon cutting today in New York.
Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo. All right, seriously?
All right, seriously?
Did you hear on the, was it middays today too? I think, because I was in and out of my car. That Weir was talking about the Miami coach who is still complaining about the coldest game on record in Kansas City. I attended that game. What was it? 2 years ago? The one where Mahomes' helmet cracked.
Uh-huh.
Weir said today that coach is still complaining about it and still saying no one could have competed in that environment coming from warmer weather.
I think it read 4 degrees, but really with the wind chill, it was like 20 below. Yeah. Still complaining about it.
Okay.
Classic Miamian.
Yeah, we got so much in the stack today, you guys. I don't even know where to begin. Two things. There's an alligator loose in our community.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. I cannot wait to talk about it because of all the things loose in our community, I don't know, fugitives, homicidal maniacs, alligator would also be on the list of things we don't want loose in our community.
Oh, yeah.
Which brings us to the next topic after the alligator on the loose, the mass murdering nut job who is now no longer on the loose because he's apparently dead. And we ended the program with this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, despite the manhunt and all of the man hours and multiple agencies involved and all of the media attention on the whereabouts of this gunman.
And the fear that he could be on the loose, causing more mayhem.
He was dead the entire time at one of the original Operation 100 crime scenes. He literally has been dead the entire time the manhunt was going on. For this man.
For 8 days.
Who was not a danger anymore to any of us. And I am thankful for that because he was dead again the whole time.
And as you mentioned, that included a second standoff at a home on Kensington Avenue that lasted for hours. Why or how they thought he was in that home, we have not been given that information.
Right, because during the time of the second standoff, he was still dead.
In the first home.
In the first home standoff.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Look.
And they're blaming the amount.
Oh, just wait. Sam, there is nothing that any city is going to say to us today. Nothing that explains how you release an active crime scene back to the family with a manhunt this large for a very, very bad man without checking everywhere. They said they did a thorough search. Clearly they did not. Guy was dead inside.
But Dana, there was stuff down there.
I don't care if he was also a hoarder and a homicidal maniac. There is nothing. And I even said this today to a friend of mine at the city level, not going to name names. You would not want to be a spokesperson for the city of Independence today or fire or police, because even they are saying, how the blank did this happen?
Even our local FBI investigators were involved in the case. I mean, we had, in theory, five different emergency response crews on scene at that house. All of them, in theory, had some duty to go in and check to make sure that he was not in there. All of them said, well, he's not in here. Let's go look somewhere else.
Right. The reason that we now know he is dead is that family members were given access to the home again, went in to try to start cleaning up the mess after the fire that this now dead guy said.
Putting their lives back together.
And I do feel for the family. They didn't want him there. They didn't, you know, certainly want their house burned down. His own family found the body. And we're going to talk about that straight ahead. Just what?
And how they found it.
913-586-7798. And then Longview Alligator, that is a real thing. We're going to get to that on Dana and Parks, too. Stick with us.
If you are heading down to the Fan Fest in Kansas City to meet up with all of the Orange Army, don't. The official post on Facebook from FIFA KC 2026, they closed officially at 2 p.m. today. That will not change unless the weather clears. So they do not have any plans as it stands right now to reopen. If the weather clears and they decide we can bring everybody back out to party, they most certainly will, and they will post an update.
And if you're listening on podcast, I'm going to say this again. We are giving you this information at 2:30 in the afternoon on June 25th at 2:30 in the afternoon. And for everybody's safety, they have cleared the area. We will let you know if and when FanFest opens back up, certainly before the match coming up tonight at 6 p.m. If there is a delay in the match, we will let you know as well. That is certainly possible with the lighting. All right, let's get to the Kansas City Star. Hoy, I am certainly asking our listeners, and I think everyone's scratching their heads on this, even authorities, is it possible this is a case of having too many cooks in the kitchen? And let me read to you the update from the Kansas City Star. The Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department, follow me here because there's going to involve a couple of agencies here. The KCFD says its cadaver dog alerted of a body 1 week before family members found the suspected highway shooter dead.
That sounds very significant.
As fire crews and investigators responded to a house fire in Independence, Missouri, June 16th, where police were searching for a suspected gunman on the run, Kansas City Fire Department was called out as mutual aid. This happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And officials say from Kansas City, a cadaver dog alerted them to possible human remains in the flooded basement of the home. And quote, this information was shared with lead investigators before they left the scene. The dog's alert was most likely for the body of Oscar Sanchez Munoz of Independence, whom police were searching for in connection to a series of highway shootings earlier that night that killed one and injured four. Law enforcement did not find Sanchez Munoz's body that night and, in fact, launched a week-long manhunt that came up until Wednesday when family members reported they found a body in the same flooded basement police had already searched. The revelation appears to be a remarkable disconnect between responding agencies and a failure to follow up on, this as an important lead, I would call it the lead, to finding a person considered to be armed and dangerous. Hopkins says KCFD was asked to assist Independence, as well as local police, in responding to the house fire on that day, June 16th. Fire department deployed its cadaver dog to help search. The dog alerted the handler to the basement of the home. However, fire crews could not go in any further. Quote, due to the significant amount of debris and standing water in the basement from the firefighters' water, a physical search at that time did not result in locating any human remains. So basically they were saying, dog finds body, says there's something down there. They pass that on to investigators, and fire says, look, we could not get down there, nor would we, because of the significant amount of debris in the standing water. They were there for about 30 minutes, fire was. Hopkins says, though, before sharing the information with the lead agencies, they got the alert, told everybody there, and left.
Mm, smart.
He said KCFD did not follow up on the alert over the next week, quote, because the department was no longer involved in the case. He said he could not speak to why it took another week to find the body and directed further questions back to the other responding agencies. So fire is saying, look, we did what we were asked to do. We showed up. We assisted. Cadaver dog alerted.
Yep.
We passed that on to, quote, all of the lead investigators, and we left. It begs so many questions that over the course of the next week went on every news station, on the front page of the Kansas City Star, on this program. They released an updated photo of the suspect yesterday, and I said he looked like the failed member of a Justin Bieber tribute band. We were all looking for this guy. Why? Question number one, did no one at fire, despite the fact they were no longer involved in the case, pick up the phone and go, I'm sorry.
Have you checked the basement?
Did anyone go back and check the basement? Because maybe there was something lost in translation here. But when we were there, we told y'all that the cadaver dog said, hey, there's something going on down here in the debris-filled basement. Yes, Kansas City Fire is right in saying we're no longer involved with the case. We showed up, did our job, got out of there, told the people that needed to know, we're done. It does beg the question, because there are friends within departments, there are friends of fire and police, like, it's like radio. Like, I could pick up the phone and call someone else at another radio station and be like, hey, not my, like, business here, because we're out, but did you know, like, dot, dot, dot? Like,
right.
Why did that not happen? And I know it's not on fire. Fire did their job.
And if multiple different agencies were involved in the initial investigation, would they not have some sort of follow-up while the active manhunt is still an active manhunt?
This is what it says, quote, all officials on scene were made aware that the dog had alerted to the basement. All officials on scene. What actions or searches were conducted after fire's departure, I cannot speak to, end quote.
Now, let's change the scenario here for a second. Let's say that this were a run-of-the-mill house fire. Weird things happen all the time in house fires. It could have been a situation where an individual is downstairs in their basement doing laundry, and the fire started in their kitchen right at the top of the basement stairs, right? The fire department comes, they put out that fire, and for whatever reason, because there's clutter and water in the basement,
which as there
they
would
don't
be,
go down to clear the basement. Say there's some individual down there in neck-deep water that is barely surviving. Water, by the way, that filled up because the fire department came to put out the fire that was burning down their house. And then that individual dies.
Do you not search, Sam? I don't...
How do you not go down... Water and debris is not an excuse to not go down and search the basement.
Well, or if it was 10 foot of water, which I do not believe that it was, let's be clear.
Well, 10 foot of water would have been water out of the basement.
You would bring in Lee's Summit... dive.
Right.
You would bring in the dive team. I don't think that's what the case was here. Do I think it was a hoarded mess down there? And then on top of that, you probably had a floor collapse. So you have debris pancaking down the way we see during fires. The difference in this scenario, you guys, clearly, is that there was believed to be a very, very dangerous person willy-nilly firing at people on the highway, killing one during one of the largest events that our city has ever seen or might ever see in the future.
Which makes searching that basement more
critical because he was such a dangerous man. Now, today, officials, you would not want to be a spokesperson for Independence today, my God. Officials for the Independence Fire Department, which led the fire response, did not immediately respond to a request for comment from the Kansas City Star. The Independence Police Department did not immediately respond to questions about whether or not they were informed of a dog alerting to human remains. I'm going to tell you this, and correct us if we're wrong, if you're law enforcement on the text line. If Kansas City is called in for mutual aid, the lead at that scene in Independence should have been Independence. The house was in Independence. The initial response was in Independence. Now, Kansas City was actively involved, as was KCK, in looking for this dangerous individual. But at the scene of that fire, Independence is in charge of that scene.
The only thing that I could think of that would change that is if they chased him there in any way. I don't remember if there was a police chase involved in this whole situation.
They knew he was there, that, right? Yeah. They thought he was there.
Well, they definitely, I mean, somehow keyed on that house. I don't know if they were chasing him and that's how they found him there. And in that scenario, if they were the ones that initiated the chase went into Independence, would they maintain authority over that scene? It seems to me like KCPD has authority over that scene because they're the ones answering all the questions. We're not asking IPD anything.
I know. And KCPD, you know, they're saying today, this was not on us.
Of course.
They're saying, quote, this home was very thoroughly searched.
Clearly not.
I can completely understand that it raises the question, how could this happen? He repeatedly said the basement of the home was cluttered with debris and initially flooded. And Bikina even said that, you know, there are some things they need to iron out between agencies. But he said something to the effect of this was one of the most cluttered homes on that lower level he has ever encountered. One of the most cluttered. Okay, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm sure that thing was a nightmare and a mess. Right. But now that we know that someone with KC Fire said, look, the dog handler says there's remains down there, or they are hitting on possible human remains down there. Who?
With regard to the clutter, if you get a call for a welfare check elderly woman who lives in an apartment that's hoarded, you don't get to open the front door of that apartment and say, now, well, Sam, there's stuff in here.
I think now it's beyond
Darn
that.
It.
Forget about the clutter. Forget about whether or not this was the most immaculate house you've ever stepped into or clutter. At the point that someone with KC Fire says the dog is alerting to remains, number one, how was that not received with the multiple agencies on scene where KCFD is saying, we told everybody.
Which there should be paperwork indicating that then, that communication was passed
and
on.
And then ... You know, like in the next week, did someone not think we should pick up the phone and remind them that there was a dog that's... The whole thing is just... It is mind-boggling.
And not to be grotesque with this detail, but the family knew that he was down there because it had been 8 days of hot, humid, muggy weather and...
The family.
Bodies do a certain thing in hot and humid and muggy weather.
Well, I'm just going to say it. The family showed up to try to put their house back together, if that's even possible, salvage what they can from their burned out home. And they knew immediately. They smelled death, then called authorities. Authorities come out and say, oh, look, we found a body. And then Fire says, yeah, we told you that a week ago.
Back to your question.
That is the wrap up.
About too many cooks in the kitchen, though. Is there a chance that there was a, no, this is our scene?
No, I don't think so. Not with something like this. Not with something like this. Because you know what? I don't think Independence has dogs. If they had cadaver searching dogs, why call Kansas City Fire out?
That's a great question.
913-586-7798. We will wrap up the hour on Dana and Parks right after this. Stick with us. So they are debriefing today somewhere. I don't know what town. I don't know what city. I don't know what city officials are involved. I think the good news is it's over. The bad news is there were 5 or 6 days of, you know, everyone concerned about this individual and his propensity to do mass harm to innocent people. There was a lot of manpower wasted. Let's be honest. Wasted.
Which, by the way, are all overtime hours because every single officer on the Kansas City Police Department is on duty right now to help keep us safe because the world's biggest sporting event is in our town.
Let's go to Ruthie in Kansas City and then we'll move on. Hi, Ruthie, go ahead.
I just think that no one really cared anyway because he was a murderer. And it doesn't matter. Maybe he was had mental problems and didn't take his medication, they should have at least gone down to, but I really don't think anybody wanted to get their feet wet. The police department with their shoes and knee-deep water.
Man, Ruthie, I don't know. I have seen officers go into sub-freezing temperatures to rescue somebody out of a car before. Good, bad, and the ugly. Like, they're there to protect and serve.
The Liberty story last year.
Yes, yeah. I think this is a communication gaffe. At the end of the day, I think fire did its job, said, look, this is what we got here. And someone dropped the ball on the receiving end of that information. And why? I don't know. In a million years, we will ever know the answer to that.
And an entirely different topic for another day. Reports are coming out that the family knew that Oscar was having severe mental issues, mental health issues. They have not specified what was going on. But I saw a report that
after he started shooting people.
They tried to get him help long before he started shooting people. But since he was an adult and would not go under his own will, they could not get him help.
913-586-7798. When we get back, we have a special guest in studio. Pardon me. And I am so excited to spread some positive news at the top of the hour. A good friend of mine launched a company, and I actually met her through KMBZ many years ago, to, in one of the simplest ways you can imagine, spread joy and kindness using something that we all have multiple things of in our home. I don't want to give it away yet. This is something everyone, if you don't wear this every single day, you own so many of them. And she thought, why not spread some positivity with something we all have in our homes? And we're going to talk about that at the 3 o'clock hour. And then at 3:30, we want to hear from you if you live in Longview Lake, because you have a new resident in Longview Lake. I don't know how many people live out there. We would have to look that up. It's a lovely community. But they have a new resident. And I would not say that that resident is necessarily wanted. It's a curiosity that he's there. And how did he get there again? We're going to talk about all of that, because I don't know how an alligator ends up in Longview Lake. And then, you know, we talked to our animal control friends the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I texted them and I said, theoretically, you know, if there's an alligator roaming around loose in Longview Lake, who would be in charge of removal? And then do you just take it to
KC Pet Project?
Yeah. Or Operation Wildlife.
Like, here's a gator. See you later.
And I don't think this is a caiman. I want to be clear, because every once in a while people are like, oh, it'll be cool to get a caiman. No, it's not. But people do. I think this is an alligator. I don't know why someone had it. Someone clearly released it, or it got loose. Does the zoo take it? Like, I legitimately have so many questions. Yeah, we're gonna lighten things up in the 3 o'clock hour. It's all going to be positivity.
Heck yeah.
It's not going to be probably a great day for the alligator, because I think they're out there trying to trap it now. But, you know.
He is not going to be swimming freely in Longview Lake much longer.
We're going to get to all of it. If you are just now joining us and heading down to FanFest, please wait. We're going to repeat this information again on June 25th. It is 2:55 p.m. in the afternoon. If you are listening on podcast, disregard. It is June 25th. And FanFest has just announced in the last hour they are clearing out the crowds due to lightning. They are going to update us as soon as that status changes.
Yeah.
But if you're in your car like my daughter was wearing orange and you're so excited to go to FanFest, do yourself a favor. Go downtown and hang out. Do something else until they launch the all clear here.
I bet those restaurants are packed.
Oh, they are packed.
Yeah.
Do not head down to the actual FanFest. The gates are locked. When there is an update on that, we will give it to you. And a reminder, the match tonight, 6 p.m., Tunisia versus the Netherlands. We just had Brian Busby on. There is a very real possibility that will at least be delayed due to their 8-mile radius
yep.
lightning rule. So it is a good day to wear orange, but the weather is, you know, something that's kind of wreaking some havoc on the festivities right now.
And if you miss a segment of the Dana and Parks show, get the Dana and Parks podcast, KMBZ.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Download, like, subscribe, do it. The Dana and Parks podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.